Good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church. We're glad that you're all here today. Let us prepare our hearts and turn off our cell phones as we listen to Diane's prelude. Please sign the friendship sheet in the aisle and pass it down and pass it back. Let's see who we're all sitting with today. There are a couple of announcements not in the bulletin today. The first one is that there are some volunteers needed to help move the pallets from around the garage. That's going to happen on Tuesday, May 9th, and you should see Mike Ward after church or call him. I have his phone number here if anyone is in need of that. And let them know if you're available. And depending on how much help there is, they might move them on Wednesday the 10th also. So that's this Tuesday the 9th. See Mike after church. There will be no God in Life class after Memorial Day. And Mike is going to get with all the youth that have been attending to set up a new time for the summer. So everyone knows that Memorial Day, there will be no God in Life class. In the announcements, we just want to note that there is one service on the 21st, just one. Next Sunday is going to be Youth Sunday, so we'll be recognizing our graduates and celebrating our youth. And then there are a couple of announcements, one for the ladies and one for the men for events that are going on. So please note those dates for the event and the dates for the deadlines. So we're going to stand and greet each other, and after which we will sing the opening hymn, number 480.
Thank you.
Join me in the call to worship. Gracious God, we come to you repenting for ways we have failed you.
Yet we also come knowing that your grace is sufficient for us.
The power of your Holy Spirit is still at work in the church.
Make us aware of those we have failed to love as you would love.
Shape the church today to be a place where you are fully known. Please pray with me. We are standing at the gate, O loving shepherd, not sure about the journey, but you have called our names, and in your voice we hear such love and surety. Bring us safely on the journey and strengthen us for what we may serve you in all that we do. Our Father, who art in heaven,
seated. Our hymn of prayer today is number 572, Take Time to Be Holy. We'll sing verses 1 and 4.
Thank you.
We've had a special request this morning from the Stupak family to sing Happy Birthday to Dylan. His birthday was on the 4th this week. So would you join me? And many more. I'd like to invite the children to come forward this morning, and since Dylan's had a birthday, he might decide he's too big, but we'll have everybody else come on down for a time of sharing. Good morning, everyone. I saw Delilah downstairs while I was walking carrying the globe. And she said, "You have a ball." And I said, "Yes, I'm taking my ball to church." It's a special kind of ball that has maps all over it. It's a map of the whole world. And if we look right here on North America, the United States, there's Wyoming. That's where we are. Next week at this time, when you guys are in church here in Wyoming, Charles and I are going to be way over here in Europe. We're going to be in church someplace in Rome, which is in Italy. It's this little country right there. It's shaped kind of like a boot. We're going to be gone for 5 Sundays. So I won't see you guys until June. We're going to Italy, and then we're going to Germany, which is right there. And then we're going all the way up north to Sweden, this long country that's really close to the Arctic Circle almost. It's really far north. So that'll be a fun trip for us. I wonder if any of you have trips planned this summer. Anybody going on a trip this summer? You're going camping? You're going to go to camp? Travel with your family? Where are you going?
I'm going to Hawaii.
Hawaii. That's as exciting as going to Europe. Awesome.
And I'm going to camp. This is going to be the first
year I'm able to go to Camp Wyoba. Your first year at Camp Wyoba. You're going to have a fun summer. What about you? Minnesota. Do you have family in Minnesota? No? You're just going to go on vacation. Someplace maybe a little cool. I hear they have big mosquitoes there, so watch out. Anybody else have summer plans? Have trips coming up?
Going to church camp.
Are you going to La Ferrere in Colorado? Awesome. Maybe today you're going to the Power Rangers movie. That would be fun. Does Mom know that? Oh, you're going to Guardians of the Galaxy. That's a cool movie, too. Charles wants to see that. Maybe he'll see you there. Well, summertime is a wonderful time to travel and have adventures and go to camp and visit family and be places we've never been before and see movies we've never been before. And the wonderful thing is, any place in the world we go, God is there with us. God is watching over us. There's no place we can go that God won't see us and God will take care of us. This morning, I thought we might sing the song, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." Do you guys know that? We'll just sing the first verse, and I bet the grown-ups know it so they can help. Let's stand up. So you all have to sing really loud because some of the kids aren't sure if they know it or not. We're just going to sing the first verse of "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands," and we'll make a big globe like this. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got
the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for having the whole world in your hands. We thank you for having us in your hands and in your heart. Watch over all your children of all ages as we travel this summer and have adventures and go to camp and learn new things. God bless your children. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. And you can head back to Children's Church this morning. While our whole lineup of children decide if they're going to worship and wonder or Sunday school and they get sorted out with our adult volunteers, I invite you to look at the back of the bulletin. There's a list of prayer concerns. As we come together in prayer this morning, I would encourage you to write a prayer card to David Riddell. His father, Bob, passed away last Sunday. His service was yesterday afternoon at Bethel Baptist. Please pray for David and for all of his family. Mr. Riddell was a wonderful Christian man. He was a long time member of Baptist churches here in town. And we know that though David is comforted by his father being with God for eternity, he will also be missing Dad. So please hold him in prayer. Sad news to share from the Hytrek family. Nina has let us know that Travis, her son, who has had liver condition and battled cancer for some time, is under home hospice care. Travis is at the point where it's very difficult to eat. He's eating very little. They are keeping him as comfortable as they can, but we know that his earthly journey is drawing to a close. So please pray for Travis, for his mom Nina, for his dad, and all the family. A difficult time for them. Kathy Malloy continues to improve. She is at Elkhorn. It was kind of a rough patch for her after her back surgery, had some complications, but she is okay. It will be a period of recovery for her as she does rehab. Terry and George were at first service, and Bob's here this morning. And Bob, please tell your mom that we are continuing to think of her and pray for her. I know Kathy so much appreciates the prayers and cards and loving support of this congregation. Lorna Cook is back home, and Roger's glad to have her home, a blessing for both of them. The missionaries we're praying for today include Amelia Casillas and Pedro Carlo Munoz, who serve in Paraguay. As we think of people in the world around us, we pray for those in Missouri and other places in the East who have been affected by severe flooding this week, and Week of Compassion has been busy responding to needs. Our ministry prayer partners this week are the members and staff, the volunteers of Joshua's Storehouse. They are a food pantry in Casper. They've been here for many years, and our congregation continues to collect donated food items that we give to Joshua's, which they distribute, along with many, many other contributions to people who are hungry and in need. There's a prayer sheet at the back of the sanctuary if you want to sign and send greetings to them. Prayers for the family of an employee from Mountain Plaza. Scott was a very happy, energetic worker, well-loved by other staff and residents there. Unfortunately, he took his own life. Those who knew him are struggling to understand that action and are filled with grief, so prayers for those who are mourning for Scott. Keith Rouse has an update to share. He is hoping to get a signed release from his doctor on May 17th that will give permission for him to be released to work for a sedentary position. Because of Keith's back injury 2 years ago, there is no way he can return to work as an electrician or do the physical labor that he's used to doing. Unfortunately, Workman's Comp continues to deny the claim. He's had numerous doctors say it's an SI joint injury, it's work-related, but the very first piece of paper that ever got turned in identified it as a different condition, and they're still fighting to get that overturned so Keith can get the back surgery he needs. In the meantime, you got to put food on the table and feed your family. So pray for Keith as he looks for a job, one that he can do that won't cause more physical damage, and one that will not prevent him continuing the journey of trying to get justice from the Workman's Comp program. Are there other concerns this morning or joys that we want to share? Tom.
Yes, Monday we got bad news. Claire, the employee of Earl's ship, really close friend of mine, they found his body in his house. I think he went to himself. Yeah. And he's been in the pathway.
Prayers for a friend of
Earl.
Prayers for a friend of Tom, Earl Jensen, who passed away this week. Keith.
Tomorrow and Tuesday, that I can focus.
finals for anybody who has an exam this week. We're praying for you. Dear God, help those students remember what's in their head and get it on the paper. Anything else today? Debbie. Prayers for Rodney, who was a recipient of the Sandwich Ministry. He was a disabled vet who's been homeless for many years, struggled with PTSD. He was struck by a car and killed earlier this week. Prayers for those who knew him. Prayers also for Christopher. The family has a new baby, and that is a joy, but Christopher's health took a sudden decline, and he was on life support for a period of time at the hospital. He is doing better, but still hospitalized. So prayers for both Christopher and the family of Rodney. Are there others? Tom.
Yeah, I won't be here for a couple weeks because I have bowling tournaments, one in Gillette, one, the big one in Cheyenne. So I just told Dan, one in Cheyenne, I'd like to get a plaque for, we'd like to get a plaque. Try and win. We won win 2 years ago. It was 1 point behind this year. I think we got a good shot to win. The high five, top senior in the French division.
Usually, Tom, we rejoice when you are here, and we're happy to see you here, but the next few Sundays, we'll be happy that you're not here because you're bowling. Congratulations on being in those tournaments in Gillette and Cheyenne, and we hope that you do well.
Prayers for Charles and Cynthia on their journey.
Thank you, Paul. We are so looking forward to our trip to visit four of our seven exchange students. We will be in Europe for just over a month. I'll be away for 5 Sundays, and every Sunday's worship has different guest leaders. It will be interesting and meaningful, I am sure, during that time. But thank you so much for praying for us and with us as we travel to Italy and Germany and Prague and Sweden. What a blessing for us to go. Let us take all these concerns and the prayers of our hearts to the Lord in a time of shared silence. Almighty, holy God, the whole world is in your hands. All of life is in your hands. When your people walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. Lord, this day we pray for David and all of the Riedel family. We thank you for Robert's life, for his faithfulness to you, and now for the peace that he knows with suffering ended, resting in your eternity. Comfort his children, his family, and friends as they continue to miss him. We pray for the Hytrick family, as they share a painful journey together, watching their son Travis make his way home to you. Lord, it's been a long fight. Oh God, we pray for Nina as she watches her son waste away before her eyes. She is praying to you that he will soon close his eyes in peace and rest with you forever. Lord, we pray that in your time, Travis's journey to heaven will come soon and be filled with peace. Bless all of his family and friends who are struggling at this time. Lord, bless our students as they face final exams be with Keith on Tuesday and Kylie on Friday and others who are completing a course of study at Casper College and other universities. Lord, thank you for Lorna and Kathy's journeys back towards health. Continue to bless them with healing. Oh God, we pray for Keith, that he will again have the opportunity to work, help him to find a job that fits well with his physical abilities. And Lord, we continue to pray through the frustration of injustice that Keith will receive the compensation and the surgery that he needs. Lord, we join with Tom in praying for those who knew his friend Earl, whose body was found in his home this week. We pray for those who knew Rodney. And we ask, Lord, that both of them will be at peace with you. We pray for Christopher as he regains health in the hospital. We pray for Tom as he goes on the adventure of bowling tournaments. Help him to do well. And Lord, we join with the staff and residents of Mountain Plaza in praying for Scott. Oh God, this day we pray for people whom we know and those we do not know who at different times in life struggle with despair so great that they think of ending it all. Oh Lord, for anyone who's contemplating suicide, may they speak up and find help. May they know that there is hope no matter how hard life is. We pray for those who are torn apart by Scott ending his life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Oh God, thank you for being with all. All of us will journey at some point through the valley of the shadow of death. We are touched by the shadows of others' deaths. And at some point, for each one of us in your time, our earthly lives will end. In that moment, O God, we pray that you will welcome us home with our sins forgiven. Thank you for the gift of ministry, for those who proclaim your word, for the work of Week of Compassion in communities flooded this week, and for Amelia and Pedro as they serve as missionaries in Paraguay. Thank you for the volunteers and staff of Joshua's Storehouse. May they continue to feed people in our own community who are hungry. Oh God, in all of life's journey, you are with us through the good and the bad. Through it all, we praise you. We thank you for your generous love, far greater than we deserve. And when we know we are loved by you, we are moved to offer others your love, your forgiveness, your grace, and the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. May we bear witness to you in the everyday moments of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The beloved 23rd Psalm tells us that the Lord prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. I think there are two different ways of understanding that statement. One is to know that when we are surrounded by the hardest of times, even when we are surrounded by people who may wish us ill, God provides for our need. God is with us. But if that's the only understanding of that text we have to be careful because it could lead us to think we're the privileged ones sitting at a banquet table, thumbing our nose at everybody else and saying, ha ha, God loves me. And not you. Another way of understanding that same verse is to ponder the reality that The Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, meaning that my enemies are present at the table with me. When we come to the Lord's table, friends and enemies alike are invited to receive God's forgiveness. The generosity of God extends to us not because we deserve his love or the saving grace of Jesus, but because his love is so vast that the Lord wants all his children to be fed with grace, forgiveness, and mercy. This morning, let's prepare to share the Lord's Supper by singing number 424, I'm Gonna Eat at the Welcome Table. We're going to join with our sisters and brothers in Christ at the Lord's table. And everyone who's here today who believes in Jesus is invited to share in the bread and the cup as they are passed. We remember that night when Jesus met with his apostles in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and said to them and to us, "This is my body that is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
We are mindful, O God, of the words of John the Apostle when he reminds us in his third chapter that you have so loved the world that you've given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. As we, as your family, gather around this table today, O God, we give thanks. We come humbly here to partake of the bread and the cup, symbolic of your body and your blood, which was shed in Jesus for us and which has drawn us to him as we ask for repentance for our sins and as we celebrate the forgiveness that you have given to us. Help us always to be with you and to seek you out as we abide in you. Again, God, thank you for this act of communion with us. Amen.
As we prepare for a time of offering, I invite you to consider 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is in the same God who empowers them all in everyone. It says that as believers, we all have different gifts given to us uniquely through the same Spirit of God. Consider for a moment, what are your gifts? Music, healing, teaching? Even though we are preparing gifts of money for the building up of our local church and community, we recognize that God empowers us all through many different means. Remember this as we listen to God's voice calling us to give to his people. It might be your gift he needs. The diaconate will now collect our offering. Please pray with me. All good gifts come from you, dear Lord, and from these riches we bring this offering. Please help us to use it for your purpose in this place and for the benefit of those in need. Amen.
Oh,
Today's first reading is Psalm 23. It can be found on page 501 in your pew Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
Our second reading today comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that wonderful medley of all kinds of songs about the glory of God that waits for us. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you give your love abundantly, generously. Through the hearing of your word, bless us with generous hearts, that our lives might reflect your life living in and through us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts bring you glory, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In these Sundays after Easter, we have been hearing together the story of Pentecost, the birth of the church, when Peter and the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit and they preached the good news of Jesus as the Messiah. They were preaching to the people gathered in Jerusalem, and there were some there who had been present when Jesus was crucified. People were cut to the quick. Their very hearts ached at realizing that God's plan of salvation included humanity killing Jesus. So they said to Peter, "What can we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized." And 3,000 were baptized. This is the moment when the church, Christianity itself, the followers of Jesus, go from being a handful of apostles and their friends to thousands of people who then go back home and spread the word to every land on earth. What a glorious story. One key characteristic of that early church that we hear in this passage from Acts 2, 42 through 47 is the overwhelming generosity that God's people shared with each other. We have an incredibly generous God. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with us. God calls us to rest in green pastures beside still waters and renews our very life. God even sets a table for us in the hardest of times in the presence of those that we might be tempted to name enemy, stranger, unloved. And yet God's love is so generous and vast that it extends to us and to those we don't yet know how to love. God loves them too. The generosity of God's abundance is seen in creation and the beauty of nature around us. Even in the lives of animals, stories abound of something like this. A mother dog loses her pups. Nearby, there's a litter of kittens that have been orphaned. The dog nurses the kittens. How many times have we seen that story posted in various forms with various animals caring for one another? God's generosity is seen even between species, between people and their pets. There's nothing quite like the unconditional love of a dog to welcome you home. When you've had a pretty lousy day and maybe have even been a pretty lousy person, someone is there to greet you with tail wagging and exuberant love. I don't want to belittle the glory of God to say we can see God's love in a dog, yet perhaps we can. In the presence of all creation, God's generous spirit is glimpsed. The generosity of the human heart reflects God's generosity in whose image we are made. Stories of human generosity abound. Rodney, the gentleman that Debbie mentioned, was someone she got to know through the sandwich ministry. She would see him around town different times and stop and buy him a cup of coffee at Loaf and Jug. And she'd watch as other folks kind of walked around this homeless vet who needed a shower and didn't quite have social skills to talk in, well, a polished way. This week, Debbie was visiting with someone else who comes to the sandwich ministry who told her it was Rodney who taught him how to survive on the streets, and he wouldn't be here today. The generosity of the human spirit is sometimes seen in hidden ways that we might not even glimpse. I asked Charles about a story of generosity, and he reminded me of something we shared just this week. My husband has a tendency to show his generosity in the kitchen. He loves to cook, and he loves to cook a lot of food and feed a lot of people. It's kind of ironic he likes to cook a lot of food because he doesn't really like leftovers. Good thing I do. There's a young man who's a friend of ours that we're getting to know better, a teenager, that we'd invited over for breakfast yesterday morning just to chat and visit. He's been struggling with a couple things. And so knowing how teenage boys like to eat, Charles fixed for the three of us 10 eggs, a batch of biscuits, I don't know, a pound of sausage, orange juice. The table was full. Right at the last minute, just as the eggs were hot and coming out of the skillet, the phone rang. This young man had been called to work at the last minute, and he couldn't come to breakfast. So as we sat at the table looking at all this food that there was no way the two of us could eat, Charles said, I know what I'm going to do. He split open a biscuit and put on a patty of sausage and piled on some eggs and wrapped it up in wax paper. Made two sandwiches to take to the young man at work. There are times when we are blessed with abundance and it is easy to be generous, to share what we have. There are other times that we see the gift of generosity even in times of scarcity, when those who have very little are moved to share what they have with someone who has even less. In our own congregation, there are stories that happen behind the scenes that we may never tell publicly, but a story of one family in the church who has a hard time struggling with unemployment and paying bills and buying food. Another family in the church is aware of that situation and comes to the pastor and says, here, this is for so-and-so. And the gift is shared. And then lo and behold, that family who is in need turns around and says to me, I wish we could give, fill in the blank, to the crop walk, buy a new light for church. But my response is, you have to feed your kids. You give in other ways. The generosity of God, which is so abundant, is revealed in the generosity of God's people when we reach out to one another. It's that amazing generosity that we hear about in Acts. Perhaps a generosity that is off the charts that we don't even know how to possibly emulate. Folks were so filled with the Holy Spirit. We're told they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. They devoted themselves. They gave themselves every day to walking with the Lord, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Awe came upon everyone. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. Did you really hear that when the text was read? They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Wow. I'm pretty good about writing a check to the church for my monthly pledge or making sure my husband does. But to sell everything that you have to take care of others, how incredible that Holy Spirit must have been when it consumed every member of the early church to care for each other day by day. They spent much time together in the temple. They broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. It's no wonder that day by day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. I imagine that you have your own stories of generosity. Times in your life when God has blessed you and you've known the joy of giving to others. Times in your life when you have experienced need and someone has responded, being generous with their time, with their love, with a casserole on your doorstep. Your own story of generosity that reflects God's generosity. Early in my ministry, when I was a young, single, ordained pastor, I was asking God about where I should serve. I was working in a church in the Phoenix area. It was an Anglo congregation, and we were surrounded by Hispanic families. And I really felt passion about leading God's people to open our doors and to share, reaching out to those who spoke Spanish and inviting them in. One summer, we had a shared vacation Bible school in Spanish and English with all kinds of kids running around together. The church at First Christian Glendale ended up hosting a Spanish-speaking congregation. And now, these many years later, there are two different Spanish-speaking congregations nested in that disciple church. At that time in my ministry, I was filled with a passion and an awareness of the struggle, living in southern Arizona, the struggle of Hispanic neighbors in an Anglo community. And so as part of my questioning and trying to be faithful to God, I ended up having an interview with a group called Border Links. They work right along the border between Arizona and Mexico. Among other things, they provide the opportunity for Christian youth groups across the U.S. to come and experience life on the border. But it's a little bit more than just a group of white kids from America building a house in Mexico for some little brown kids. Border Links really focuses a lot on education and relationship building, helping people who've never been exposed to the complexity of immigration issues come to understand the challenge of life in that specific setting. When I interviewed with Border Links, I was struck by how much that group embodies Acts 2. At the time, it was a group of mostly young people living in a small house in South Tucson. It was almost like a Christian commune. They really held all things in common. Part of the commitment, if you felt called to join Borderlinks, was that you were willing to give up your personal goods to share in the care of others. Folks were even asked to sell their car and let it be used for ministry there on the border. If you have a nice brand new car, that's kind of a hard sacrifice to make. It's a little bit easier to be that generous if you got an old clunker. You don't feel so bad about driving to Mexico and helping with projects. Borderlinks continues to do astounding work. When I interviewed with them, I was in the position of being an ordained minister with a Christian church, Disciples of Christ. And I was in the mindset of interviewing with congregations. And so as I talked with their director and felt amazing respect for the powerful work they were doing, I asked, well, what about health insurance? He just kind of chuckled and shook his head and said, well, our friends in Mexico don't have health insurance, so we don't either. He said, if somebody gets sick, we take them to the doctor and everybody pools their money and we buy whatever medicine they need. It was a pretty simple approach to life. It ended up that that wasn't the path God was calling me on, but I actually know a group of folks who embody what Acts 2 tells us happened when the church was first born. They're people who sell their possessions literally and share all that they have for the common good. There are times when I read scripture that I struggle. There are some passages of the Bible that personally I don't take literally. I understand the cultural context and with which they were written and the complexity of translating from Greek or Hebrew into English. And I think that some of Scripture is metaphorical story that represents learning about God. But in the case of Acts 2, I'm convinced it was literally true. People sold everything they had to take care of other people, because they were so amazed that God's generosity was so big that Jesus said, I love you so much, I'm going to die for you. And people responded to that by asking Peter, what can we do? And he said, repent and be baptized. And they were. And then they lived together and loved each other and made sure nobody was in need. It's an amazing thing. At the risk of starting a revolution, may we pray that the Holy Spirit comes upon us, that we share what we have and care for others and meet together and break bread and listen to the teaching of the apostles and be overwhelmed by God's generosity. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn today is number 638. In the bulb, there is a flower. If there is anyone here this morning who is moved to give your heart to Christ, or you're looking for a church home and you want to join us here at First Christian, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing together. Would you all be seated for just a moment? I'm going to ask Paul Halleck and Dennis Baker to come forward. They don't know what I'm up to, but I want to have just a special moment of prayer this morning. One of the places that Charles and I will be visiting is the Vatican. We are looking forward to seeing the Sistine Chapel, the Vatican Museums. One of the things that happens at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome is that's the home of the Pope. And part of what makes that place special is generation after generation after generation, those who have been gifted with the Holy Spirit and commissioned by the church pray for the next generation. It's kind of a passing on of leadership. In the Catholic Church, there's a specific understanding of the tradition that Peter, whose body is interred underneath St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, Peter, who preached Acts in the city of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, Peter was gifted with the Holy Spirit and handed on that Holy Spirit. So when a priest in the Catholic Church is ordained, there is a tradition of tracing the lineage all the way back to Peter, of those who pray for new priests. In our church, in the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, when a minister is ordained, other clergy and elders of the church pray for that person, and there's a laying on of hands, kind of a passing of the mantle of leadership. I'm going to be gone for 5 Sundays, and it almost feels like a mini sabbatical. I have never in my life taken an entire year's worth of vacation at one time. And I appreciate the generosity of the Board of Elders to say, yeah, that's okay, go for it. Europe's great, go see your kids, have a good time. I appreciate the generosity of the church. So many times over the past weeks when I've been struggling with lung infection, people have said to me, you need to get well. In my mind, I'm thinking, I need to get well so I can work. They say, you need to get well so you can enjoy your trip. Thank you very much for that sincere sentiment. It is a blessing. This morning, I am entrusting our congregation into the hands of our elders, represented by Dennis Baker, our current chair of elders, and Paul Halleck, who, you know, kind of just needs this nameplate, associate pastor, permanent elder, saint of the church. I promised these guys that there weren't going to be any funerals while I was gone, and if there are, Kathy has the names of 3 pastors in town who are on call who will show up and do a funeral, and Paul will be there, and all will be well. And then this morning, Nina Hytrek and I prayed because Travis is probably going to go to heaven while I'm gone. So I think it's appropriate for me to pray for the two of you as you guide all of our elders to shepherd and care for this congregation. And then I'm going to ask you to pray for me and Charles. We feel so blessed to take this trip. I know that we have folks in our congregation. Jane's been to Rome. Jean Weiss has been to Rome. They're giving us advice on what to do. Diane's been to Rome. I know that we have folks in our congregation who travel the world all the time. The Purvises have kids who, you know, live in Russia and the Middle East and these fascinating places. But I know for some of us in Casper, Wyoming, you can't imagine even going to Europe. So we feel a little bit like we're your ambassadors. We're going to bring back more pictures than you want to see and more stories than you want to hear. But we truly appreciate your prayers for us. So, Paul and Dennis. Oh God, we trust in you and your sustaining spirit. We know that on that first Pentecost, Lord, your Holy Spirit worked in incredible ways. Folks' hearts were so filled with generosity that thousands of people came to follow you. Ever since then, from one generation to the next, faithful Christians have passed on the gift of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for the ways in which your Holy Spirit is present here at First Christian and Casper, and I pray specifically for Dennis Baker, for Paul Halleck, for all of our elders who will continue to shepherd your people in the weeks ahead. Bless those families that may know grief and loss. Bless those families that will know joy. Bless each one who will fill the pulpit in the next month to speak your word and bless your people.
Oh, gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity to serve this congregation as Pastor Cynthia and Charles journey to Europe. We ask that you watch over them and keep a guiding hand on them so that they may safely return to us. We ask you to give us guidance as we go forward so that we understand that we don't have all of the answers, but we do have the ability through you to provide care and comfort to all who are in need. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. There is coffee and refreshments downstairs. We invite you all to come. May God bless God's people with peace and joy on life's journey wherever it leads. Amen and amen. Thank you.